Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
We thank you, Lord. Give you praise, God, for you're so good. But I pray over the next few minutes, God, as we get into your word today, God, give us ears to hear and a heart to understand what you are saying to your church in this season. Father, for you are speaking. God, may we hear and may we respond in faith. God, we love you and we're so grateful for you. God, we pray, God, bless the rest of our time together, and it's in Jesus' name we ask. Come on, if you believe that, somebody say amen. Come on, be seated all over the room today. I want to get into the word. We'll do offering and announcements here at the end, but I want to just share just for a few minutes this morning what God's put on my heart today. How many of you guys are thankful God's still speaking to us? Listen, if you've ever heard someone say God's done speaking, they're wrong. God's still speaking to his people in the earth today, and I'm grateful. Anybody thankful God's not done with you? Man, are you thankful? Listen, if you watch the news long enough, doom and gloom is coming everywhere, and we're all in trouble. But how many of you guys know in the kingdom of God, we are a part of a kingdom that is unshakable? And God is not done with his people, but he's allowing us to rise. That's the theme that God has given us, the vision for this year, that we are going to rise in Jesus' name. And I want to share for a few minutes, and I'm going to try to condense it and share with you what God's put in my heart today. But I want to share a few things because I believe it's so pertinent. There are several things that the church must continue to be aware of and continue to be walking in Jesus' name. So how many of you guys know this? How many of you guys are thankful that Jesus said it is finished? He said it is finished. I am grateful that we don't have to work for the things that Jesus has already done. I think, but one of the hardest things for us as the people of God in this season, it's not that we have to work for something, but we do have to walk in what Jesus has done. We do have to walk in the fullness of the things that Jesus has provided. And unfortunately, there is still a war on the earth between humanity and Satan. There is still a war between Satan and the people of God. Now, how many of you guys know this? That Satan is no longer a foe to God because God's already defeated him. But he's still our enemy that we have to deal with. And so we have to see something that God is speaking and working and moving, and we have to understand that we have to move intentionally. Somebody say intentionally. We have to move intentionally into what God is saying and doing. And last week on Resurrection Sunday, I came to you with what I thought was a one-part sermon I was excited about called The Missing Piece. Look to your neighbor and say, you're complete in Jesus. Come on, tell them, you're complete in Jesus. And we talked about how that we discover that Jesus is the missing piece for humanity. That Jesus is the missing piece that brings peace. That when Adam and Eve fell in the garden and they gave into deception and sin, that something was lost. There was a missing piece. And for 4,000 years, humanity tried to put their life together, but they could never be complete. And it took a man that came down. He wasn't a man, but he became a man. And he became the Passover lamb that took away the sin in the world. And Jesus became the missing piece for you and me, that we could experience life forevermore. Did I get it upside down? I did get it upside down. That's the problem with props right there. But you can see right there, Jesus became the missing piece for you and me in our lives. If you're thankful, somebody say amen. Jesus is still the missing piece for so many people. There are people right now that are saying, how can I go on in life? Somebody needs to tell them that he's the missing piece. Somebody needs to remind them of what he has done and how Jesus completes us from the inside out. And so today, for a few minutes, though, I want to go somewhere that the Lord really impressed on me in the middle of the week to talk about today, because I want to remind us of something that there is a verse in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 that says this, and it really just says what I just took the last 5 minutes talking about. Go right here to Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Here's what it says. It says, so you are what? Complete. We'll get rid of that rise in a minute. It says, you are complete through your union with Christ. Somebody say, I am complete. I am complete. You are complete through our union with Christ. What is a union? It means being joined together. How are we supposed to be joined together in Jesus? A relationship. How are we supposed to be joined together with Jesus in a relationship? But can I tell you, just like Jesus is not just another piece in the puzzle of your life, he is the foundational piece that matters the most. He is the foundational piece that matters the most. Listen to me. We must have a specific relationship with God if we want the fullness of the life he offers to us. Now, I'm going somewhere today that's important, because here's what I have found as I've looked over our Western culture. How many of you guys know we live in the Western side of the world? But I know that. Pull up your map, you can see it. In our Western culture, and absolutely here in America, it seems that so many kingdom leaders have not taught the body of Christ about the context of the relationship that we should share with God. They have not taught about the context, the understanding of the relationship that we should share with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys believe God's three in one? Come on, he's three in one. We're thankful for the Trinity. Because the truth is, if I ask this question, how many of you know that where you spend eternity is dependent upon having a relationship with God? Everyone would say, yes, that's right. Having a relationship with God determines whether you go to heaven or go to hell. How many of you guys know both of those are real? They're real. Having a relationship with God determines where you go. But here's what I've found. If I ask another question, that do you know the type of relationship you have with God shapes the kind of life you have on earth? Most people say, what do you mean? What do you mean when you say that? The type of relationship you have with God shapes the life that you live on earth. Here's what I mean when I say that. Because not understanding the type of relationship we were designed to have with God is the missing piece for so many people. Not understanding the type of relationship we should have with God is the missing piece for so many people. Let me explain. This missing piece I'm talking about, it can keep you from the full revelation and understanding of who God is and who you are in Christ, who God has designed you to, what God has designed you to do in the earth, and the reality of his kingdom. And so what I'm preaching and teaching on today is not discussed a lot, but it is important if you want to live complete in the relationship you share with God. And here it is. God designs you to be in covenant relationship with him. That right there is the missing piece for so many people in their relationship with God. There are so many people that say they believe in Jesus, but they don't understand that there is a specific relationship that God has designed you to live in, and it is called a covenant. Somebody say covenant. It is a covenant relationship with God. I want you to see this quickly. This piece is red on purpose. It represents Jesus and the blood of Jesus and what he did for us. Jesus died and got back up so you could be in a covenant relationship with him that completes you in every part of your life. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So I want us to see this today as I unpack this, because I'm afraid that for so many people that have good hearts and have good intentions, you really don't know what it means to be in a covenant relationship with God. To be in a covenant relationship with God. So let me unpack this for a few minutes, because I believe it's so important for us. How many of you guys know that our God is a covenant God? He is a covenant God. From the beginning, from Adam in Genesis 2, to Noah in Genesis 6, to Abraham in Genesis 12, to Moses in Exodus 19, to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 27, to David in 2 Samuel 7, and now through the covenant of Jesus that we can find in Matthew 26, God has always offered a covenant relationship to humanity. God has always offered a covenant relationship to humanity. God created you and me so he could communicate with us, so we could come into agreement with God and be the keepers of the earth that God had created. Let me show you, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps creatures on the earth. That's how God ordained it for humanity to live. But we saw last week these two folks named Adam and Eve, they disappointed all of us. Come on. Frustrated us, man. We could be eating waffles in the Garden of Eden like we were last week, and they messed it up. Probably not waffles, but still. Those were good, though. Come on, somebody tell your neighbor, those waffles were from the Lord. They were good. I had one this morning. Don't judge me. Okay. Adam and Eve broke the conditions of God's covenant in the garden. And so you say, okay, well, so God wanted a covenant, and they broke the covenant. What is a covenant? Here's the formal definition of covenant. Look, it's on the screen. Formal definition of covenant. I want you to see it today. Here's what it says. A covenant is an endless partnership or solemn and binding agreement between two parties. A covenant is an endless, somebody say endless, is an endless partnership or solemn and binding agreement between two parties. Covenant involves promise. Covenant involves faithfulness. Covenant involves loyalty unto death. How many of you guys know that already sounds like Jesus? Promise, faithfulness, loyalty unto death. That sounds like Jesus, but let me break it down further. Covenant with God establishes a commitment to a relationship that allows God's purpose for us to be fulfilled. Let me say that one more time. Covenant with God establishes a commitment to a relationship that allows God's purpose for us to be fulfilled. God making covenant with you and me is a part of His desire to bless you. How many of you guys know God wants to bless you? God wants to bless you. Only like six people. How many of you guys know God wants to bless you? God wants to bless you in every part of your life. He's a good God. His desire to bless you. He wants to move you into the destiny He has for you. Listen, and not just the destiny in heaven, but the destiny He has for you on earth. Listen, this whole thing about us rising this year, listen, if you want to be a person that rises, you better be in covenant relationship with God. You better understand that God desires that kind of covenant. And so here's the thing. When we think of everlasting covenant with Jesus, what He established, a lot of times we think about the death and the resurrection. We think about forgiveness and remission of sin and justification and sanctification. All those things are incredible, and I can give you Bible to see those things. But can I tell you, the covenant gets even better because the covenant doesn't just last here, but it's an eternal covenant. It's an eternal covenant. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And for this reason, He is the mediator, talking about Jesus, of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Somebody say amen to the word of God. An eternal inheritance. I don't know about you, but when I see these things recognized, that's talking about, that means we have everlasting life in a covenant relationship with Jesus. We have everlasting promises, everlasting love, everlasting joy and strength and peace, habitation with the Lord. And one day, there will be no more death. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more tears. I'm thankful for an everlasting covenant with a covenant God. If you believe that, somebody give God praise. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. It is real. I'm thankful that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I will spend forever in the place that Jesus is preparing for you and me. I'm thankful for those things. And we have to recognize that the covenant we have in Him is not just here, but it is everlasting. It is an everlasting covenant. And that covenant, listen, it extends to us to do some powerful things on the earth. If you believe that God has a destiny in this on this earth for your life to fulfill, say amen. God has purpose for you here. God has a destiny for you here. He has plans. He has purpose. He has an assignment for each of us to walk in and accomplish that brings his name. Pastor, are you sure? Go read Jeremiah 29:11, one that you should know. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God desires to have covenant with us that we might live in the fullness of who he is, in the fullness of who we are in him, in the fullness of fulfilling the plans that he has for our lives and living in the culture of the kingdom here on the earth. God has that for you and me. God has those things in that covenant relationship. But for so many people, this is the missing piece in their life. This understanding. So many people have accepted Jesus as Savior. They believe he died and rose again, but they get to a place, but they say, I thought there would be more. They get to a place in this very superficial relationship where they say, I still feel like something is missing, that I feel like I'm missing something. Do you want to know why people could still feel that way and they say they believe in Jesus? Because they're not walking in a covenant relationship with him. The reason they could feel like that there's still something missing in their life, that's not fulfilled, it's not everything Jesus said they could have, it's because the only thing that will allow you to know that you are complete in every way is understanding the context of the relationship that Jesus died to give you. And it is a covenant relationship. It is a covenant relationship. If you're thankful for covenant, somebody say amen. Let me put my piece back in there before I lose it. See, this is where it gets important and deep for a minute. Because just like we can now begin to understand that God wants a covenant relationship with us, how many of you guys know that Satan understands covenant? Satan understands that God wants to have a covenant relationship with us. And can I tell you the reality of what I'm talking about today? We have an enemy that has been contaminating and corrupting covenant since Adam and Eve. We have an enemy that's been contaminating and corrupting covenant since Adam and Eve. More than ever, our society and culture in which we live no longer value and honor and protect covenant. If you don't believe me, let's talk about marriage. Come on, somebody. When you talk about covenant, how many of you guys know marriage is supposed to be a covenant relationship? Marriage is supposed to be a covenant relationship. The covenant between man and woman that God created and ordained, it has been twisted, it has been perverted and corrupted in unimaginable ways. And I'm gonna tell you right now, the church of the living God better continue to promote and protect the covenant that God made between God and man as it pertains to marriage. If you believe that, somebody better say amen. Now listen, we're gonna love everybody. We're gonna be loving and kind and good to everybody, but we will not twist what God has already said is true. We will not do that because that's not our choice to do it. But see this morning. This covenant that we can even see in marriage, we have an enemy that not only tests every covenant, but he does his best to taint every covenant. He tries to not just test covenant, he tries to taint every covenant. And this is where it gets deep for you and me this morning. Because here's what I have discovered, and this is not a fun discovery of what I'm about to share, but Satan fights harder to poison our covenant with God than we do to protect it. Satan fights harder to poison the covenant we have with God than we do to protect it. Hear me when I say something, why this is so important. There is a war over covenant in the earth. There is a war, somebody say war. There is a war over covenant in the earth. And I'm going to tell you this, and I want you to hear it and let it resonate in your heart today. If you don't fight for the fullness of what God has for you, you will forfeit it instead. If you don't fight for the fullness of what God has for you, you will forfeit it instead. This is why so many believers live lives very different than what Jesus said we could have through the new covenant he established. So many people live lives that don't look anything like what Jesus said we could walk in the new covenant he established. Millions of people declare they have a relationship with Jesus, but it's not the covenant relationship God desires. How many of you guys know it's not enough to just have a relationship with Jesus? We need to have the relationship that Jesus died to give us. It's a covenant relationship. If you think I'm preaching hard, I love you, and we'll go have a waffle after service, but stay with me this morning. This is so important because this understanding is the missing piece for so many people that want more in their relationship with God. You see, listen to me. The relationship that so many share with God may have brought salvation, but their lives are still filled with things like defeat and iniquity and excuses. Can we get plain for a minute? Do you know people that say that they accepted Jesus as Savior, but their lives are still filled with defeat? And their lives are still filled with iniquity. And their lives are still filled with excuses on why they can't become what God has designed them to become. Can I tell you, Jesus died and got up not so we would deal with defeat and iniquity and excuses. He died and got up so we could be disciples that are intentional and we are effective in every part of our lives for the kingdom of God. That's the power of walking in covenant with the Lord. If you believe that, somebody say amen. I know somebody's thinking, Pastor, why are these things happening? Because the truth is this, if you're not living in covenant relationship with God, you cannot expect covenant blessings. You can't. If you're not walking in covenant relationship with God, you can't expect covenant promises. If you're not walking in covenant with God, you can't expect to operate in covenant power. So many people say, God, why won't you turn around my finances? Because you don't practice the principle of tithing, and that blessing can't come to your life because that's a covenant promise and a covenant blessing. You say, well, Pastor, why can't these things happen and these things happen? If you're not walking in covenant with God, do not expect God to do what he does for people that he walks in covenant with. In other words, let me break it down in a way that our society understands. God does not do joint custody. It's funny, but it's sad that we relate to that because that was never intended either. God doesn't do joint custody. God does not say, listen, you can have 1 foot over here and 1 foot over here, but you can expect everything from me because I'm going to love you anyway. He loves you. Yes, he does. But don't you expect the fullness of covenant if you're not walking in covenant with him. And this is where so many people, they say, I thought there would be more. I feel like there's something that I'm missing. Some people even get to a place that they say, I feel like God has let me down. Listen, God has not let you down and God has not failed. It's because there is a missing piece. It's the missing piece of being in covenant with God. It's the missing piece of being in covenant with God. The relationship that we should have should be in covenant. And the truth is that many of us don't walk in covenant either because we didn't understand it or we just are disobedient. Some of you today may be hearing about covenant for the first time. You can step into that today in Jesus' name. But some of us know about covenant and we still don't walk in covenant because we just don't want to. Oh! Because we're disobedient to the standards and the ways and the will of God. But even though God says, listen, if you want my will, you better do it my way. Come on, somebody. Say, why does Jesus get to say that? Did you die for yourself? Did you raise yourself up from the dead? Can you forgive your sins? Can you get to heaven? If Jesus did all those things, he can say it how he wants, do it how he wants, and look at us and say, you better do it my way because I'm the only one that can do it for you. Can I remind you, I know the United States is a democracy, but the kingdom of God is a theocracy, and there is a king that cannot be voted on. There is a king that cannot be impeached. There is a king that cannot be removed. He sits on that throne, and he will not be moved for anybody's opinion or what anybody else says otherwise. I told you, I love you. I'm sorry I'm preaching hard. That's what the Lord gave me on my heart. But we got to remember this, Makers Church. There is a covenant relationship that God desires for us to walk in. And the truth is this is where Satan has come in so stealthily, and he's such a good thief. Listen to me. He cannot replicate the authenticity of God and his kingdom. So what does Satan do? He tries to offer cheap counterfeits. How many of you guys know that Satan always offered cheap counterfeits? He always does. He always does. He can't replicate who God is in the kingdom of God. So what does he do? He's been doing it for thousands of years. He offers cheap counterfeits. There are so many people trying to have a relationship with God, but instead of covenant relationship, it's a cheap counterfeit. It has the form, but it doesn't have the power. It looks like it, kind of, but it's not the same. You guys know what I'm talking about. You guys know, we live in a world where you find substitutes for everything. If you don't believe me, go to your table at lunch today and then pick up Sweet and Low and Splenda and Equal and everything else. We live in that kind of world. You can go to Burger King and get something they call a Whopper that's not even meat. What is that about? They call it impossible. I call it disgusting. What are we talking about? We live in a world. See you, Brennan. Love you, buddy. Just took off. Church I grew up in, everybody's running every good direction. We live in a world where there are substitutions for everything. Listen to me. There is not a substitute for covenant relationship with God. There's not. But there are four specific kind of relationships that I see operating in the church today that are counterfeits of true covenant with God. I want to share them with you quickly before we close today. Listen to me. There are four things that I see. There are four kind of relationships that I see that look like covenant, but they're not covenant. The first one is this. It's a casual relationship with God. What does it mean, casual? Not regular or permanent. Not regular or permanent. Casual literally means no strings attached, superficial. It's kind of one of those relationships where you see somebody and you hang out and you say, okay, well, hey, that was fun. Until next time. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Come on, how many of you guys know we have a society filled? We see some people twice a year, Easter and Christmas. Come on. You want to know why? That's a casual relationship with God. Hey, God, that was super cool. Thanks for your word and for your love. But man, I'll see you the next time. I don't know when it's going to be, but I'll see you then. You have any friendships like that? Those are not your good friendships, are they? That's a casual relationship with God. Or maybe say, well, hey, God, you know what? This was fun. And listen, the next time I get in trouble, that's when I'll come find you. The next time, Lord, there's a tragedy and I really need you, Lord, I know that you'll be there. So God, how about this? God, how about you just hang out on my shelf in my room and I'll get to you when I need you? How many of you guys know Jehovah Genie's not a thing? You don't get to rub a bottle and out he comes to help you how he wants to. That's not who God is. God's not interested in having a casual relationship with anybody. The second one I find, though, is one called a contractual relationship. What's a contractual relationship? It's a relationship where you protect your rights and you limit your responsibilities, which, by the way, is the polar opposite of a covenant relationship. A covenant relationship is you give away your rights and pick up all responsibility. That's what God's done for us. Everything. He's got a covenant relationship. But a contractual relationship is where you say, listen, I want to protect my rights and limit my responsibilities. In other words, God, I want all you have, but I'm only going to give you so much of me. That's a contractual relationship with God. God, I want every good thing from you, but I'm only going to give you so much of me. In other words, this is, hey, God, how about you and me make a deal? If you do this, I'll do this. I made a lot of those deals with God in high school. Can I get a witness from somebody? God, if you'll let me pass this test that I did not study for because I watched WCW Monday Night Nitro last night, I will help you, Lord, and I will be so good to everybody. I'll be nice to my sister. And Lord, if you'll just let me pass it, thank you, amen. I did that all the time growing up. Can I get a witness that other people did that? Come on, help me out. I did it all the time. But Jesus did not die and get back up for you to have a contractual relationship with him. God's not interested in making a deal. God's already done everything for you. He wants a covenant relationship with you. So we've got a casual relationship. We've got a contractual relationship. Here's the one that I see plaguing us, and it's getting real bad. It's a convenient relationship. It's a convenient relationship. God, I'm interested in having a relationship with you as long as you can fit into my plans and my schedules and my kids' sports schedule and my time. And as long as you do it when it's best for me, God, I'm all in. As long as you'll do it my way, God, I'll do whatever you want. As long as it's best for me, as long as it's convenient, you got me, God. But as soon as you ask me to do something that's not convenient, it's not worth it anymore. Listen to me. God is a covenant God. He is not a convenient God. Pastor, why am I not living in the fullness of what Jesus has for me? Is it because you're trying to live a convenient Christianity? You're like, well, you guys have service at 8:45 and 11. If you had one that started at 10:30, I could be there every week. Ooh, help us, Lord. Well, God, I would serve in the church, but I just don't want to. God, I would even serve in the kids' ministry, but they want me to be nice to kids, and I'm not even nice to my own kids, so I don't know if I can do that. Listen. We laugh, but there is a convenient Christianity that is destroying the church. Because if it doesn't fit into our box, we're not interested. Jesus did not die and get back up for convenience. Nothing about his life was convenient. He sat it all down so we could have eternal life. He's only interested in covenant. Here's the one, and I have all these pieces I haven't even used because I got fired up and I forgot about them. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, pastor needs to get better with his props. Come on, tell him. I'm trying, man. This is the one, though, sometimes that gets me. Let me find it. I have so many pieces. I don't even know which one it is. I had a piece last week that almost fit. Here it is. A piece that almost fits, but it's still missing a side. You see that? It almost fits, but it's still missing something right here. That's that ceremonial relationship. What does that mean? That really means those religious relationships where it's all about ritual and tradition. We say the same prayer, we do it the same way, the same actions, the same words. How many of you guys know Jesus did not come for religion? He came for relationship. Even a ceremonial relationship, there's nothing wrong with having things that we do on a consistent basis, but not if that's the essence of the relationship that you share with God. I hate to break it to you, but how many of you guys know even though God's perfect, he's not always predictable? Go read Isaiah. He'll do new things. He does them. But all of these things that you see, casual, contractual, convenient, ceremonial, all of those things, there are so many people that they say they love Jesus, but they live in the confines and context of those kind of relationships, and they are not living in what Jesus said they could live in. They're not seeing the things that Jesus said they could see. They're not walking in the peace that passes all understanding. Why? There is a missing peace, and it's covenant with God. It's covenant with God. The only thing that will complete you on the earth, the only thing that will allow you to live in the fullness of what Jesus died to get up and give you is a covenant relationship with Him. So quickly, and then we're going to pray. Two very simple and specific ways. Pastor, how can I ensure that I'm walking in consistent covenant in relationship with God? Consistent covenant relationship. These are not the only two, but these are the two that I want you to grab a hold of today. Are you ready? Number one, God must be the center. He must be the center of your life. It's not ironic that when I had Damien make this, shout out to Damien for making this for me. My man. I said, hey man, make sure the piece that's missing is the one in the middle. God has to be the center of your life. Listen to me, Romans 11:36. For everything comes from Him and exists by His power and is intended for His glory. He must be first and He must be center. Everything should revolve. Listen, every piece of your life, Pastor, what about my marriage? It's not the center. Pastor, what about my kids? It's important, but your life doesn't revolve around your kids. Pastor, what about my job? It's a part of the puzzle, but it's not the center. Pastor, what about my possessions or my retirement or my friendships or relationships or other things that I enjoy? Pastor, what about my purpose? It's still not the center. God's the center. Even your purpose is not the center. God's the center. Everything has to revolve around Him. Everything should flow from Him and flow back to Him. The connection to every part of your life should be that it revolves around Jesus. He must be the center of your life. If you want covenant, keep Him at the center. The second one, if you thought the first one was hard, if you want covenant relationship with God, He's got to be in charge. Somebody say amen, help me, it's quiet. He's got to be in charge. Pastor, what does that mean? That means you're riding shotgun. That's what that means. If you're holding the steering wheel to your life, you're not in covenant relationship with Jesus. If you're in charge of all the important areas of your life, you're still not in covenant with God. Because to be in covenant means that you give up all of your rights and you pick up all the responsibility. And what you find is that when God is in charge, He'll lead you to all the places that you cannot lead yourself. He will fulfill every desire of your heart that's from Him. He will bring all the purpose that He's given you to pass in your life. When God's in charge, that means you say, okay, Lord, it's your way, and I'm okay with that. What did Jesus say in John 14:15? He said, if you love me, obey me. If you love me, obey me. You know where it gets dangerous? This is serious, just for the record. Because how many of you guys remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7? When He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He's got to be in charge, or it's not a covenant. If you're in charge, you need to give charge and control back to Him. Because that's the best place you can ever be. Is when He's in charge and He's leading, and you will live in the fullness of everything God has for your life. Listen, when He's the center, when He's in charge, there'll never be a time where you say, I don't feel like I'm complete. If He's at the center of everything, if He's in charge of every part of your life, you will live your life knowing that there is no missing piece, that Jesus has completed you, and you are complete through your union with Christ, because it's a covenant relationship. And if you believe that, somebody say amen. Come on, stand to your feet all over the room. Come on, I know what time it is, and I don't care. Second service is going to love us. I want everybody, if you want, I want you to get out of your seat and come to the altar really quick. Come on, hurry, 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 hurry.